Before we sit down, I just want to read scripture. So, in John 2, verse 17, it says, "Then the disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me." Jesus is speaking of passion for God and his presence. Let me pray before we start. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your house. Lord, I thank you that you are building your church. And Lord, I pray that the words that I use today will just speak into people's hearts and lives. I pray that you'll use my words to actually speak into people's hearts and lives. And Lord, that people will go home feeling uplifted and never being the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can sit down. Who knows? All living things grow if they're healthy. I certainly know that. In my garden, we've got loads of weeds. You don't have to make them grow. I've not planted the weeds. They just come up. So I look at the plants in my garden. I feed them. I'm quite meticulous about I feed them. In the summer, they get fed every month. I water them and they grow. A few years ago, Paul decided to grow some courgettes and some tomatoes. We had loads and loads of courgettes. We were giving them everybody. We were just saying, "Do you want a courgette? Do you want some courgettes?" Ellie had loads, didn't you, Ellie? I think somebody even made a cake with courgettes. I think that, Amanda, yeah. So you can make anything with courgettes and they grow really easy. They went really, really well until I went away on holiday. And then I didn't water them, I didn't take care of them, and they died off. My plants grow unless for some reason I neglect them. And I'm rubbish at houseplants. Absolutely rubbish at houseplants. I just forget to water them, and then they die. So I just say to everybody, whatever you do, don't ever buy me houseplants. Because within a week, they'll be dead. So my plants grow unless for some reason I neglect them. Or I just don't bother with them. And then they die. I remember putting seeds out for the birds. And those seeds, the wind must have come and scattered them all over. And I had flowers where I hadn't put flowers. So if you put seeds out for the birds, be careful, because you could end up with anything in your garden. Have you noticed that when you plant something in the ground, it grows where you plant it? Yeah. Once the seed is planted in good soil, you water it, you allow it to be nurtured by the sun, and that seed begins to grow. It grows from the ground, and it's cared for by continued watering and nurturing, and the sun and other things, eventually it grows and it becomes the plant that it's meant to be. Whenever you take a seed and plant out of the ground, it doesn't grow. It doesn't thrive as much. You can cut flowers and they'll last a few days, but they won't grow. They need to be planted. It's an amazing truth of God's plan for everything. And here is the cool part. We're the same. We're meant to grow where God has planted us. The same principle is true for the church. Since the church is a living organism, it's natural for it to grow if it's healthy. The church is a body, not a business. An organism, not an organisation. It's alive. If a church is not growing, then it's dying. If a healthy church is a growing church, then it stands to reason that the church will be as healthy as the people in it. That's why it's important for each one of us that we nurture our spiritual health. A church will only grow as each person is growing in his or her faith. So we need to ask ourselves a question. How healthy am I spiritually? How do I know if I'm not growing in my faith? Brian Houston once said, when was asked about Hillsong Church and its growth, he said, "I never focus on numbers, just on health, because healthy things grow," which is so true. A survey was done a number of years ago which surveyed 13,000 people in 130 countries. It was a survey of people who used to go to church but no longer do. They were asked a number of questions in the survey, and one of the questions that were asked was, what would need to happen for you to return to church? The number one answer was passion in the lives of people within the church. What people want to see was a fire, a zeal, passionate people, an enthusiasm among Christians that made being part of church meaningful and exciting. The Cambridge Dictionary defines passion as a strong belief in something or strong feeling about a subject. So what does passion look like in the context of the church? As that scripture's just said, I believe a healthy church begins with consuming passion for God. John 2:17. Then his disciples remembered the prophecy from scripture. Passion for God's house will consume me. Do you have passion in your life? What is your passion? The dictionary says, passion is an intense emotion, strong feeling, a great devotion, and an intense conviction which fuels or motivates us towards compelling action. If you have passion for something, you love doing it. Every Saturday, I go out with my sisters because I have a passion for shopping. And so I make sure that I plan everything around the fact that I need to go out with my sisters on a Saturday. It's not just the passion for shopping. It's that spending time together. We don't always shop. We went to see Santa on Saturday. If we want to be good at something, we have to do it with passion. Passion is the difference between enthusiastic action and simply going through the motions. Passion is the fire inside your belly that causes you to get up in the middle of the night thinking about what needs to get done next. In 1999, I went to a women's conference, which was a miracle in itself at that time, not because I don't like women's conferences. But at that time, I was very timid. And Paul had seen this advert in this magazine for a women's conference, The Other Side of the World. And he thought, I think Jeannie should go to that. I'll ask her, but I don't think she'll do it. Don't think she'll go. So he asked me, and I said yes. And at that time, I was going to go on my own to the other side of the world, when all I'd ever done, as Paul always says, the furthest I'd ever been before then was Skeggy. But anyway, I said yes, and I planned to go. But then someone came and said to Paul, we'd like to pay for you to go with him, with Jeannie. So he came and carried my bags. Which you need somebody to carry your bags when you go on the other side of the world. But I saw thousands of women worshipping God together. And I just felt as though God spoke to me about having a passion for his house. You know, they were worshipping together, and I just remember standing there with tears streaming down my face, which isn't unusual because I do that quite a lot. But it just birthed a passion within me for God and for his church. And it's burned in me since then. I love the church so much that I'd be willing to lay down my life for it without hesitation. I'd be quite happy just serving in church cleaning the toilets if they need cleaning, or whatever, just because I love the church so much. Psalm 84, verses 10 to 12 in the Message, say, one day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honoured as a guest in the place of sin. All sunshine and sovereign is God, is generous in gifts and glory. He doesn't scrimp with his travelling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with the God of angel armies. And some of you know how much I love the sun. And I love Greek islands. But this passage is true of me. I'd rather serve in God's house than be anywhere and do anything. And I'd be willing to do anything to see it thrive. Psalm 92, 12 to 14 says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and they will remain vital and green. Being passionate about God's house will mean you flourish in life. The word the Bible uses for passion is zeal. The Greek word is zealous. It means a fervent devotion to a cause. It also closely related to the word translated fire, enthusiasm, jealous, earnestness. A person who possesses zeal has a fire in his bones that can't easily be quenched. The following passages tell us about how zeal can be used positively and negatively in a person's life. Romans 12:11. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Romans 10:2. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to our friends in Macedonia that you Christians in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping. Just thinking of that, and I was just thinking of this illustration. You know, a man proposes to his girlfriend, and the first response the girlfriend gives is, yes, definitely, I love you. And the second response, how do you think a man would react to this? Oh, that's nice. Do you think you can get me a bigger ring? What is the difference between the two responses? The first response was one of acceptance and passion. We can get excited about all kinds of things. We can be passionate about our work. We can be passionate about our possessions. We're passionate about our sport or hobbies. And there's many people in this room that are passionate about Chesterfield Football Club for some reason. I'm not sure why. Are they top of the league, are they? Oh, well, they're doing well then. That's good. We can be passionate about how we look or the clothes and most definitely the shoes that we wear. Yeah. I like shoes. I don't know about you, but I've found that there are Christians who get apologetic about being passionate for Jesus. If God were to say to you, if you had one gift to give the church before you leave this earth, what would that be? I think the gift I would like to give the church would be passion. Yeah. So why do Christians lack passion? Why is it that we do not have the passion that we ought to have? Let me suggest to you four reasons why. Firstly, because we've allowed something precious to become familiar, to become ordinary, everyday, common, take it or leave it. The greatest weapon the enemy uses against our relationship is tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow I'll take my kids to the park. Tomorrow I'll take my husband or wife out for a date. Tomorrow I'll take my son fishing or my daughter to the football match. Or should it be my daughter shopping? Don't let the unknowns of tomorrow steal what is precious today and now. And then secondly, the need for approval. We all want to be loved and we all want to be needed. We all want to be accepted by others. If you want real passion, you need to recognise that while passion draws some people, it will not draw everyone. A desire for popularity pours water on the fire of passion. Without thinking about it, we turn the fire of passion down. We trade passion for approval. I've been guilty of this most of my life. I always tend to seek approval. In fact, probably doing it now, just looking, seeing if you're still here and not on your Sunday dinner yet. And then thirdly, apathy. The word apathy means without love. People have lost their love. What once caused our heart to beat faster now barely affects our pulse. We fall into the routine and ruts. We get stuck in a rut. You see, we become routine about our faith, routine about going to church. We don't deny Christ, we just demote him to the commonplace. Apathy is not a state of mind, it's a condition of the heart. And fourthly, people will affect you. You've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. Well, it's the same with people. My mother had a saying when we were growing up, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. It was a saying that reminded us to be careful about who we spent time with, because it'll affect our lives. It will affect our walks with God. Passion is the thing that is caught, not taught. The more you're with people who are passionate for God and building his house, the more passionate you'll become. So we've talked about how we lose our passion. Let's focus on how do I restore my passion. The Word of God repeats over again the importance of maintaining a spiritual fire. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, it warns the believer, do not put out the Spirit's fire. We all want to be on fire for God. So how do we do it? By following the strategies for keeping the fire burning. Firstly, make sure you have a fireplace. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul exhorts the young pastor Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Sounds like the kids are having fun out there. They've got passion, definitely. Everyone knows that a fireplace is the safe place to have a fire. It's a place where you can put logs together and they share each other's heat. Christians need a place where their passion can burn brightly, where their passion is encouraged, and where the passion is God's gift. A fireplace, a passion for God's church. He gave us the church as a fireplace, as a safe place to burn. Christians who are living with passion for Christ in a world that resists passion need the church. The church where love for Christ is openly expressed. And the second thing is focus. Focus on your fire. Romans 10:2. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. Paul here is talking about the Jews who had not yet received Christ. They had a passion for God, but it was misdirected. One thing that I have noticed about passionate Christians is they like to have their hands in a lot of pies. The problem is, When passion is spread thin, it doesn't make a great difference anywhere. I love what we're doing with Acts of Kindness and the Toy Appeal. By focusing on these few things, we can make a big difference. It's like the big show, focusing on that. We can make a big difference within our communities and the lives of families in this area. And then thirdly, fire consumes. You'll have to wrestle with weariness. Whether you like it or not, the fire God has placed within us and as God uses us to make a difference in our community, we're consumed. I think that is what Jesus had in mind when he quoted Psalm 69 verse 9. Passion for God's house burns within me. David makes it more clear in Psalm 119 verse 139 when he says, my zeal wears me out. Passion like fire consumes. Therefore, as Christians, we need to fight the weariness that results from God-given passion. The word of God gives us a clue as to the cure. In Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, it says, even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And fourthly, fire needs to be stoked from time to time. Practice the habit of re-evaluation. This is a simple practice of stopping at the end of our day, at the end of our work, and recognizing the value of your accomplishments. At the end of each day, at completing each assignment, take a moment to look at what you've accomplished before attending to the next task. Thank God for giving you the creativity and strength to accomplish your work in his name. Then tending fires can be exhausting. Take the opportunity to rest. Jesus gave us a somewhat peculiar invitation. He said, come up the mountain and rest a while. This is important to remember because passionate people have a tendency to think that it's somehow more spiritual to burn out for Jesus. Rest and passion are not incompatible. Rest is essential to maintain a healthy spiritual and physical and emotional life. And then fires change their surrounding and environment. Determine the passion, that your passion will make a difference. A Christian without passion is like a river without water. Passion energizes the Christian life. Passion gives us additional focus in life. Without the passion of God in our lives, we will lead dull and draining existence. Passion is one of the ways that God empowers our lives. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Passion for God protects me from wrongdoing. My passion to please him, which causes me to say no to temptation. My passion for God and for what God wants to happen in my life causes me to instantly recognize if that isn't happening. And then associate with passionate people. Fire needs to be fed in order for it to keep growing. If I don't put coal on my fire, it goes out. That's basically it. If it's true that people affect how we live and walk, then it's true that if we spend time with people who are passionate about the Lord, it will cause our hearts to grow brighter. Paul reminded his young apprentice Timothy about the power of people to affect his flame. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded it now lives in you. Pray for passion. God's fire is a gift. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. How would Timothy do this? Prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant about it. Earnestly, fervently, vigilantly. These words speak of passion. Anything worthwhile, any good thought, any inspiration for songs, poems, music, any concern for people comes from prayer. And finally, that's to give you hope, by the way. And finally, flourish in the place that God has called you to. Be planted in the house. The word of God clearly tells us the way we can flourish. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. It doesn't say, those who attend the house of the Lord, those who visit the house of the Lord. No, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Anyone can just visit church and not be planted there. Anyone can just attend a church and not be planted there. Being planted means that you're willing to lay down your life to serve God in the place that you call home. Being planted in church means you serve in that church. You help others in that church. You listen to leaders in that church. Being planted in church means you value church, the pastors, the leaders, and each other. Just as a plant values the ground, the oxygen, the sun, and the water. It means faithfulness and loyalty to God and to his church. To be faithful to something means to be steadfast in affection and allegiance. To be loyal to something implies a firm resistance to any temptation to desert or betray that thing that you're loyal to. In Proverbs 28, verse 20, it says that a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Loyalty and faithfulness imply a steady, unwavering course in love and allegiance, along with a firm and deep conviction to support that thing. It's a steadfastness in God and in the church that always results in God's blessing in the lives of those who practice it. And why are we always looking to be loyal and faithful? Because God loved us enough to send his only son to die for each one of us and rescue us from the punishment of sin. He rescued us and gave us the Holy Spirit and the church. The church is not a social meeting place. Rather, it's a place for you to go so you can grow and build the kingdom of God. And God, in his infinite wisdom, plants us in his church. That means if God has planted you here, you're going to want to be loyal and faithful to God and to the reasons that he's planted you here. If you're planted here, you need to flourish where you're planted. When you plant a seed, if it has all the right ingredients, it's going to grow and flourish. I believe that God has planted us all here, and I also believe that if God has planted us here, we need to flourish where he's planted us. I believe that God wants us to find our place in the kingdom, become faithful and loyal to God and to the church and its mission. And when we do this, we begin to grow and we begin to flourish and bear fruit. And as we begin to flourish where we're planted, we begin to find our place and our purpose in the kingdom. And then we become fruitful and productive. Can you imagine what the place we live would look like if all the people who attended local churches began to flourish where they're planted and began to use their gifts and talents to build the kingdom of God? We would see our neighbourhoods changed. If people would begin to flourish in the churches that they're planted, the church would accomplish what it's called to do. When a plant starts to bloom, it fulfills the purpose for which it was created. A flower blooms and we enjoy its beauty. A vegetable blooms and begins to produce food for us to eat. A fruit tree or vine blooms and it begins to offer us sweet, satisfying fruit that it bears. When God's children begin to flourish where they're planted, they bear fruit that comes from their loyalty and faithfulness to God. In return of their loyalty and faithfulness, God provides a way for the fruit to be displayed. It's displayed through the gifts and talents that God gives each one of us. Each one of you have been given gifts and talents from God to build His kingdom. There's no exception to this rule. 1 Peter 4:10 says each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Everyone has something to offer the church that they're in. There are no exceptions to this rule. God has given you something to offer, something unique that only you can do, something special. God has given it to you and He wants you to use it. Jesus said something very important about flourishing. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We have many different opportunities to serve here at Icon Church. There are many ways that we can help build God's kingdom. But what good is it to have all those opportunities and fail to flourish, fail to release our gifts and talents to God? It really comes down to one thing. It comes down to our relationship with God. Spend time reading Jesus. It's a great way to build up our relationship. And if our relationship with God is good, then we will flourish where we're planted and it will keep our passion alive. Prayer is the key to restoring passion in your life, ministry and marriage. John Wesley was once asked the secret about his ministry. He said, I ask God to set me on fire and let people watch me burn. My prayer for us all this morning, for this church, for my life, for my family, is to ask for God's holy fire. Let it burn. Let it burn in your soul, setting you on fire for His kingdom, to see His kingdom come and His will be done. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of this church. As I was preparing this message, God gave me a picture of the American redwood trees, particularly the roots. I believe that they're going to put a picture up of those American, there they are. Can you see those roots? Now they're not like any other tree, because most trees, their roots are underground. But these roots grow on top of the ground and they intertwine with each other, with each tree. And they grow together And I believe that is how God wants us to grow here at Icon Church. He wants us to grow together. And this is where our strength comes from. As a body, we find as we grow together, as we intertwine by God's power and love, we'll see God's power demonstrated in and through not only our lives, but in this church, in Icon Church. So let's live with that passion together to see God do amazing things through our lives. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to grow together. I pray, Lord, that we'll become intertwined with your power, with your love. And Lord, that we'll just see lives flourish as a result of us growing together with you. In Jesus' name.